the meeting, and welcome everybody. I know that there are some members that are still there with you. But I'm not looking at the time. We are 7 minutes past 9. The meeting is supposed to start at 9. And I know most of them get confused because sometimes we start at 9:30. And I think we should start now. The meeting is going to be dealing with the property practitioner's bill. Let me wait for them to sit down. The maturity of the school part is excited. I'm trying to wait for you, man. So sit down so that I can start. Yes. I don't know, but the meeting is, I'm scared. I'm so glad I'm okay. Oh, there is, I'm questioning you, this young man. Let's start. Meeting is the meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Human Settlement. We're dealing with the process of the bill, property practitioner's bill. Members will remember that the bill was introduced to us on the 15th of June. And following that meeting, we had a meeting in Parliament on the 14th of September, following the submission that we done. Oh, on the 4th of September, sorry. Following the submission that was done by some organizations, where we were having the oral presentation to us. And following that meeting, we went out to interact with provinces from the 17th to the 28th of September. Now, comments were made, submissions were made. We are now at that stage where the department is going to respond to the proposals, amendments that were made by the organizations to us. In terms of approaches, question. They haven't received any yet, so my assumption is that people are on their way. The only approach that you might have is that is from the DJ, who I know that would have loved to be here with us, but has had to have other ambitions in country. But it is possible for two DJs from the department. We have the technical advice on that. We have the legal team from the department. We have the office of the deputy minister represented, and the minister's office is represented. We are told that all of those toilets started at the doctor. He is going at 10. Everybody is sick here. I also know that there's two doctor's appointments on my left. The one is at 11. He'll go and come. The other one is at 12. If you are sick, I just hope it's not anything serious. But otherwise, let's start. Let me hand over to you, Susie. And we will then
morning. Chair, members, thank you for the opportunity. Chair, the DDG for Corporate Services under whom the bills fall is with me, Ms. Nelly Letolo-Nan, together with Kwezi Ngwenya, the Acting Chief Director for Legal Services, as well as the Acting Director for Legal Services, Mr. Tulane Pambule. Chair, what I will do is that I will ask, and the procedure is that we have submitted the document which details the proposals as well as the departmental responses to the inputs that have been made to the committee and the responses. Chair, just to indicate that we've also, as part of the process, engaged with the state law advisor, so there is a redraft that is in the process that couples and supports what is being put forward to. But what I'm going to do is I will ask Mr. Ngwenya to take the committee with your permission, Chair, through the document. And the document has been circulated, and I'm assuming that if there's any points thereafter, we take it from there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Deputy Chair. You can then pass the mic to Ngwenya to take us through.
Thank you, Honourable Chairman. I believe that I've got a short slack voice, so I must record it. Chairperson, thank you very much, and Honourable Member. The document, there are two sets of documents that are before us. The first document is the Public Employment and Labour Body Petitioners Bill, which was held in Parliament on the 4th of September. If you can recall, or remember, that you called for public submissions, and on the 4th of September, there was oral presentation that was made by various organizations before you in Parliament. So the first document is going to deal with those particular comments, and it will set out, you know, the organization, their comments in respect of the specific provisions of the bill. It will indicate also the comments, it will also indicate the response of the department thereto. The second set of documents shared will reflect that the Property Petitioners Bill, the 2018 provincial public hearing that we have conducted subsequent to the 4th of September. You undertook to go all around the provinces, you know, to hold public hearings, which were held from the 18th to the 27th of September. That will be the another set of documents that we will be referring to, that will take you soon as well. Chair, I'll start with the 4th of September. The 4th of September, Chair, the document talks about the first organization that made presentation on the 4th of September was MOCSA, which is the Mortgage Origination Council of South Africa. Chair, they've raised a comment. Their comment was that MOCSA indicated that since 2004 they were not regulated until recently by another piece of legislation, which is the Financial Sector Regulation Act, number 9 of 2017. Therefore, their submission changed that they would prefer not to be regulated under this particular bill, because for them to represent, you know, double regulation and also some double compliance in respect of certain issues that are relating to them. But I think, Chair, the first instance from our point of view was that the rationale for us to extend the definition and the application of this particular piece of legislation to include them was basically to try to cover each and every role player in the property sector. Because if you have a look at our definition, it's a very long definition, Chair. Because the real essence of it was that we wanted basically to cover and also to make sure to say that we regulate each and every sector that participates in the property sector. But however, Chair, because of their presentation, we were, of course, you know, slightly persuaded by their argument to say, look, if you are regulated, you know, by another piece of legislation, it won't be desirable that they should also be regulated under this piece of legislation. Chair, we had a look at it, you know, and deliberated on it, because look, from the drafting point of view, general and in law, that when you legislate, you legislate for a broader spectrum. You don't legislate, you know, for a particular sector. But what is of critical importance is to make sure to say that as and when you are regulating for a different sector as well, like this is our intention to do it here, you need to make sure to say that you have a good and a proper mechanism to monitor the application of that particular piece of legislation in relation to the sphere that you're trying to regulate. That is exactly what we are trying to do, Chair, to say, look, we have advanced the argument, we are persuaded that they are properly regulated for their particular sector. We don't want to bring in additional regulatory mechanisms to them as well. So that is exactly, Chair, that we have considered their particular effect. But the ultimate point that will remain is that we will make sure that as a department that we monitor from time to time the application and also the implication and application of their particular piece of legislation in relation to their particular sector that we're trying to regulate. But however, Chair, there is another issue that they have raised, which was in relation to Section 57.1. I'll make reference to it, Chair, because in our revised bill, we'll also make reference by what track changes in the draft bill as well, to reflect in terms of what is there that we have done in relation to the issue that they have raised under Section 57.1, under clause 57. In 57.1, they have raised the issue that we need, of course, to rephrase, you know, the provision which talks about, you know, encourage for reward. We agree, Chair, to say, look, you know, under 57, if you can have a look, without taking you through there, but it's an expression that we use. So, but we are persuaded to say that we will refer that particular provision to make sure to say that it reflects that you know what we have proposed, you know, in terms of, you know, their submission. But that's an issue that they wanted us to have in the Chair, and of which we don't have an objection to it. Chair, the second organization that made a presentation. Under B, it says limitation of relationship with other property market service providers. Subsection 1 says a property practitioner may not, go to B, enter into any agreement, formal, informal, whereby consumer is obliged or encouraged to use a particular service provider, including attending to render the services, ancillary services, in respect of any transaction of which that property practitioner was the effective cause. So they were saying, Chair, to say that we should rephrase that particular wording. So that's the wording that we're going to rephrase and we'll reflect it, you know, in our revised bill.
And then on the same page, you understand the proposal from this organization was saying, let's rather use the word encourage for the one. So that's what they are saying, that they would then change. Okay. Thank you very much.
It will be easier in the next revised session because we'll have those set changes, yes, in terms of where it reflects where we amended the provision. On two, Chair, there was another organization that made a submission, and of which their submission was very clear, Chair. It's in relation to the industry and their practice, the way they have been regulated, which is the Independent Regulatory Board of Auditors, ILBA. Chair, they've raised a number of issues, which are, you know, we consider them, you know, to be issues that basically just relate, you know, to their own profession and how their profession actually, you know, functions and how they should actually, you know, be reflected in terms of the bill. They are saying, Chair, on the definition, that there is no definition of accounting records. Of it is true that there is no definition of accounting records. So they were even further, Chair, to propose the new insertion there under the definition to say, we have to define the accounting records means information in the original electronic form within the property trust account as required in terms of this act, including but not limited to records of all transactions, but including trust monies, and all that that you submit the check. Our response there is that it's a very progressive, you know, proposal. And of course, as a department, we face with it by the session. Therefore, Chair, it will reflect as well as a new definition. Because they've given us substantive and compelling reasons why we have to implement it. Because in terms of their own practice, we need to make that fundamental distinction between, you know, any other records and accounting records, because it's only relating to them. Because if you can have a look, Chair, in respect of the other issues that they are raising under Section 53, if you can go to Section 53 or Clause 53, it deals with the issues that the account, the auditors need to submit an accountant, your auditor's financial statements, and all those kind of records, so forth. So they were guiding us in the particular principle that, look, for a better regulatory framework and implementation, we rather use this particular phrase that specifically relating to them. And also it's the best international practice for them to use that. So their view was very progressive, they changed. Mm-hmm. But it will reflect, you know, in terms of the new insertion in the new bill. Chair, the other section that they're proposing, I'll tell you what, remember, if you can go to clause 53. 53, precisely.
Chapter count.
Yeah. Yes, Chair. If you go to chapter count, it restores the number of responsibilities in there. Because one of the other issues, Chair, if you can recall, in all the presentations, without taking you to, you know, to the provincial presentation, the issue of the trust account was the most important issue that came up, in particular in relation to the accountants and the auditors, and including the general public out there, to say, you know, it is expected of them, you know, to hold trust accounts and to keep trust accounts. And some of them, they were raising the issue that the trust account is a very expensive account for you to keep in most instances. So as a result, you know, we get audited, you know, from time to time. So then the auditors, if they are requested, you know, to audit the trust account, the cost that is associated with that responsibility is also part of the issue that you were raising, to say, you know, it's too costly, you know, basically to do business with the EAB, because you are expected not only to submit your accounting statement, but we have to also to submit all these audited financial statements, and then the auditors will require about 15,000, sometimes 10,000, but you may find that during the course of that particular year, they were struggling even to make business. But why were, you know, compelling them to do that? So if you look at certificate of the trust account, it talks about all those issues that they are raised under Section 53.1A. 53.1A, so they are proposing that we should further even define a recognized financial reporting framework. They are proposing, that is the new insertion that they are proposing, they are not going to go through it. They are also proposing that we should also define the trust money, so that it's defined in a clear sense that as and when they are preparing those financial audit statements and auditing those trust accounts, that one should be very clear. So, Chair, we were, of course, you know, persuaded in respect of the manner in which we were presenting in terms of how is it done practically in relation to the issue that we have raised. If you go to Section 53.1A and B as well, Chair, we stipulate that every property practitioner must open and keep one or more separate trust accounts, which must contain reference to this section with a bank registered in terms of the bank act and so forth. So they were proposing to say that we should rather differentiate in terms of the number of different internal requirements. So, Chair, the same as well in relation to the other, we will reflect by what track changes, you know, the new insertions of those definitions and also the rewording of the Section 53 as they proposed. Our response there, if you can go to each Chair, which is very important as well. We have deliberated on each Chair because the issue of the cost, it has been a very important issue that we have to deal with. But however, we have indicated in there to say that we need to have a full mechanism that will be dealt with under transformation. We'll deal with it as well, Chair. So what if we categorize different, you know, firms for auditing purposes? Like, for example, if we have, say, that if we have a firm that is less than 2.5 million, and then the other ones are more than 2.5 million, The rest of them, they can simply just submit, actually, their financial statements. Then they get audited, through the normal course of process by the EAB and so forth. Rather than for them, to submit, the audited financial statement, which is being costly and all those other things. But their particular provision, Chair, will deal with it, as well, and reflect it correctly, as one of the other mechanisms that we'll do under transformation to advance, the transformation within the sector. If we have a look at our comment, Chair, under IRWA as well, we have indicated those other kind of mechanisms that will look at the threshold in terms of the issue that relating to submission of the audited financial statement. Because it came out very clear that many of them, they're struggling, because of the cost that, they incur when they request financial statement. So we need to have a look at various mechanisms there. But those mechanisms will be dealt with under transformation, Chair. That was the submission, Chair, of the auditor. The last question that we have raised under Section 54, they also say that they further submit that there should be a clear, mechanism and definition and the meaning of the state of affairs as stipulated under this section and must be given, a clear application. Because if you ever look at Section 54.4, it provides a check. That says, in addition to the duties contemplated in Section 54, a property registrar must, in respect of his or his activity, keep in one of the official languages at the address in the Republic, the accounting records that are necessary for fair reflection and screening of the state of affairs. So the issue that they have raised was in fact that the cost effectiveness part of the official languages and all those things that we have to consider. So we need to come up with a clear regulatory framework in terms of which so that they should not be compared, completely to submit that part. We'll deal with it by way of regulations as well. So those are the issues that they have raised. They were very specific and very clear in terms of what they were trying to propose, and of which I can confirm that we were, of course, persuaded by their own submission as well. Chair, the other organization, the third one that made the submission was the Council for Debt Collectors. If you can recall, Chair, they were with us in all 9 provinces, not in all 6 provinces. Chair, their issue has been very clear to say that they submit that the council, they are better regulated, and there is a clear mechanism that regulates them under the Department of Justice. Their act is very clear, the Debt Collectors Act. And also the Department of Justice currently has embarked on a process, to remove and exclude the other road payers, which actually as well from debt collectors. Now, there was the view, Chair, that in this particular bill, it will appear that they have raised a number of other issues that are generic to say that we need also to consider the other road payers as well, that we, of course, considered and included in our own definition. But they are in a nutshell of the view that their inclusion in this particular piece of legislation, it will basically deal with the over-regulation in relation to the space where they operate, unless we consider the provision that they propose, of which we agree with them that in dealing with certain definitions, like for example, they have raised another issue that relates to the managing agent. That issue we have dealt with it, and the cross-referencing in terms of certain role players, we have considered those particular issues that they have raised. But their issue, Chair, was primarily on the issue of the consumer protection. Well, that why you have to include all those other role players that are relevant and who are playing a role in the property sector, transactions in particular. They wanted to advance the interest and the protection of the consumer. But in a nutshell, we were saying of the view that they are covered by the other piece of legislation. So similarly with MOCSA as well, we wanted to make sure to say that we don't provide overburden and over-regulation over those other sector. But what is important for us, we should not omit the responsibility of making sure that notwithstanding that it's been governed elsewhere, but we need, if we've got an interest on it, we need to follow it from time to time to make sure to say that as and when they are transacting within our own space, to which extent that we can better regulate them, either by way of regulation or otherwise. Chair, the other organization that made the submission was the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants. The same as IRBA. If you can have a look, they are raising the same issues. You know, because when we're considering them, we're looking at, you know, look, there is a common consensus here that if accountants and auditors, you know, they are raising issues, you know, of similar nature, and also in relation to the definition, the trust money, the definition of all the new concessions, and also the most important issue that they have raised was the issue of the managing agent. Why you want to exclude managing agents, when managing agents are not regulated elsewhere. So Chair, that one we are also faced with, it will also be reflected, you know, on our new revise. But however, Chair, the other issue that we are trying also to come up with, which was, we found it to be very progressive, was the issue of the definition of the business undertaking. Because they were giving a clear understanding that there is a difference between a business transaction and a business undertaking, you know, in an accounting sense. So we rather, you know, try to define it, because, you know, nevertheless, we're not focusing on this particular aspect in particular. So those are the issues that we, you know, we had to look at, check. That was very important. The other issue similar to this, but that we have raised, was the issue of Section 53.1, the language share that we were talking about. And also they were talking about the issue that we are making reference, you know, to King 3. You know, what if, you know, the next year is King 5, or is someone, you know, is someone else. So we rather, let me say, you know, omit but refer, let me say, not to proper corporate governance issues, because tomorrow it might not be King 4, it might be King 5, or it might be another judge. So we rather not, you know, focus on that particular sense. I think, Chair, that one was very straightforward. But the issue that was raised was the issue of the trust account, the management trust account, and those definitions that they proposed. Chair, the other thing that we also raised was issue of the Section 53.5. That Section 53.5 outlines and describes deals with regulation and how the accounts should be checked. We further submit that the refinement of the trust account should be done. That is exactly what we have done, Chair, in terms of providing for that particular relation, as and when it was raised, actually, by everybody's voice. But the most important one in the Chair, that's the last one from the, you know, from the accountant, was the proposal of the new concession under 53, which is the one, the prescribed portion of interest of money deposited into a trust account, you know, should be dealt with by way of regulation, because if it's not prescribed, it's going to create, you know, some sort of a bit of a confusion. So what they want to do was to empower the minister, actually, you know, by way of regulation, you know, to prescribe, you know, certain mechanism as to how to deal with the interest accrued, you know, in respect of the trust account. So they are proposing a provision there, which we had a look at it, and we have agreed in principle with the central advisor that we will need a journal to insert it and therefore substitute it and put it in a very different way. The last portion that they raised here was the issue which is critical as well. The issue that relating to the lawful entitled, you know, to such money. We are still dealing with the trust account on 53. And the lawfully instructed. So we had a look at the Chair, you know, in terms of the legalities part of it, and we have agreed with the central advisor that we will, of course, you know, reflect it and to reflect, you know, different in terms of the bill, in terms of the argument that we have also advanced. Then the last question that we have raised here was Section 53, 6 and 7, which we have agreed to the new principle in relation to it. Section 53.8, they have said that the submission of a certificate to authority declaring the interest of the account. So that is the other issue, Chair, that we have also, you know, dealt with in terms of the new session. They go on and on, Chair, in terms of the issue that they have raised in relation to it, in terms of that particular section. But we rest assured, Chair, that it will reflect in terms of the new bill that where specifically that we have incorporated the provisions that they have proposed. Because with them, they're not just critiquing and providing, but they are providing even a solution to say that this is how it's supposed to be defined, and it's in line with the international best practices in relation to what they have raised here. And the provision, Chair, that is important that you have raised was the provision also that deals with Section 76. We stipulate that all regulations under the current EAB will remain in force. So we had a look at it as well, Chair. You know, that's one thing that we have dealt with in terms of the schedule. It will be substituted accordingly, and the new insertion will be done accordingly. If you have a look at them, Chair, all the consultations that we have submitted in terms of 67 and the preparation of the financial statements, we have dealt with those ones, and then they will reflect very very clearly in the revised, you know, new insertion by all changes in that Section 53, Chair. The other organization, Chair, that made the submission was the BASA, the Banking Association of South Africa. Chair, BASA have raised the issues as well. Similarly, I think the interest within the financial sector. You know, together with the accountants and IRBA, we have raised the issue of the new insertion of the definition of the business undertaking and the business transactions. So that I've explained earlier, Chair. So that particular provision, you know, we've already been patient with the Chair. They've also indicated, which you know, in clause 1A, you know, the issue that relates that the sheriff are regulated in terms of the Sheriff's Act, and therefore should be excluded from the definition of property practitioner by including the word sale in execution. BASA therefore proposed that the clause should read as follows. So by auction or otherwise. So those are the issues shared that we have just included, you know, because they were basically just, you know, enhancing each of, you know, the you know, the provision of that particular function as well. So those we didn't have much of a problem on that chain. On Section 2 on the application of the Act, they also proposed the same as you by an accountant, the business undertaking and the business transaction. So they have raised that particular issue sharp share. And also Section 3 on the object of the Act, BASA have raised the view that there is a pressing need for tenants also to include it in the scope of the training with the DHS and visage filling. They have further submitted that cash will ever be taken by the DHS in terms of the bill, not to duplicate on the role of the office of CISOs as one of the roles with the office in visage in the provision of training for body corporate and trustees and sectional title owner. Remember, Chair, that particular argument comes from the view that there is a chapter in this particular, you know, bill that deals with the establishment of the ombuds. And what came out clear in the presentation around and from the expression of this committee was that we cannot have, you know, festival of ombuds in each and every piece of legislation. What we rather do as focus as a department, we should rather have an umbrella, you know, in the human settlement legislation, the ombuds for the sector. But not to have an ombuds for the EAB, we must have an ombuds for the CISOs, an ombuds for the HBRC, because those are the issues that we have to deal with. So the expression was to the effect that, no, we will, of course, in a way, Chair, substitute that particular chapter of the that deal with the establishment of the ombuds with the transformation chapter. You know, but we deal with it as and when we arrive there. But that is exactly the intention that we're trying to raise, that we should not duplicate the role of the CISOs and the role of the ombuds that is currently in the head. So for us, we have the view that we'll of course substitute that particular provision, the chapter with the transformation chapter, but take some other related, you know, objectives in that particular chapter, you know, into the transformation chapter that will advance the issue of transformation. So BASA also raised the issue on sections on clause 6. The bill referred to estate agents in clause B and so however the inconsistencies. That was just a drafting issue, Chair. We have just, you know, corrected throughout the bill. Chair, the other issue that we have raised was the issue that relates to the fidelity fund certificate, which, you know, it has been a common issue that has been raised throughout the public hearings as well. That BASA submit that this section requires that every property owner should apply for an annual, for an FFC, and pay a prescribed annual fee. And therefore, Chair, I say that the possession of the FFC is a mandatory requirement for a property practitioner. BASA further submits that in the instance that, Chair, the issue has been that the manner in which it is inserted in the current bill is that the property that Krishna might be in possession. And I remember, Chair, they were saying in other provinces to say that sometimes because of the inefficiencies, we find a challenge that even a person has got a proof that it has been paid, but the certificate has not been issued. But the renewal will come thereafter and say that, but already expired. But we have to renew, but we have not received even the last year one. So what we have considered in here was to say that we should rather give it, you know, a legal expression to say that you should rather reflect to say that you should be deemed to be in possession. Once you can prove to say that you have paid, you have done all the necessary requirements that are required, but you are not issued, you are not in possession, because in possession means that, you know, see that it must have been issued, you must be in possession of it. But in here what I'm trying to say that it should be deemed to have been issued, you know, and in possession of it. So, you know, so that we can deal with this particular issue of them not saying that I've paid, but I've done everything that is required in terms of the regulation, in terms of the act, but still I don't have, you know, my FFC with me. So we'd rather give that legal expression to be deemed, you know, to have been issued. If you are satisfied, that's not going to be that, you know, all the requirements have been complied with.
That's a very important input, because remember, that's something that was raised very sharply everywhere, and I know Honorable Baka was very strong with this point. So what you are saying, that's why I have to have the same understanding. What you are saying, because what was the main issue was that a lot of estate agents were saying they would wait for this certificate.
Yes.
They have paid. And it will probably only get it when you want them to pay for the next year.
For the next year.
Now, what you are saying is the deal is for the research that as long as they can show proof of payment,
yes,
they don't have to wait for the certificate itself.
Yes.
It's still that they want the certificate once they can show proof of payment.
Yes.
That's how I understand.
That is exactly true.
Okay.
To say that once they can prove to say that all the requirements have been met, they have paid, they have not, but, you know. Remember, there was an issue in the last, you know, financial years. There was a complaint about issue of receipts, that the EAB could not even issue receipt when a person had paid. But if a person can just show that there was a transaction, I paid, all those other things, and there's no any other outstanding issue, so that particular ticket would be deemed to have been issued and been in possession. Chair, I think that's the issue that they have raised, because for them, from the financial sense, it doesn't make sense, you know, for a person not to be in possession of that. Then Baza Beda raised on section 49 that the disqualification on the issue of the FFC, that's the issue, Chair, that, you know, we have raised, and also we have made sure that it is fair and just, you know, under the circumstances that the property person is subjected to the particular process. The same as the accountants and auditors, we have raised the issue of the trust account, section 53, you know, is the biggest elephant, Chair, and section 54 in terms of how do you deal with this particular issue of the trust account, and how do you deal with it, and to which extent that can be, you know, a barrier. But with regard to other share, you know, the issue of the audited financials, you know, statements going to auditors, it's a barrier of entry. But like I've indicated, Chair, it's an issue that will be dealt with progressively under transformation, you know, to make sure to say that you get the particular threshold that is going to exempt those, you know, who cannot afford, you know, to pay for those, might still comply by submitting their bank statement and get assessed and processed into the EAB. The Chair, BASA also submitted section 67.1 on the language of agreement, the same as the auditor. See, the language might be difficult, because if we constitutionalize, we have to now, in all languages, you know, we have to submit it, it might be problematic and costly. But the issue is that, you know, we should prescribe a regulation under which that intent can be achieved. Also, BASA, Chair, you know, they have raised the issue about transformation of the sector. BASA submitted that they are supporting for the transformation within the property sector, including intermediaries. However, the wording within clause 69.3, 69.4 go beyond the intent of the bill, which is to regulate and transform the property intermediary sector. BASA can submit that the bill envisages transformation and the creation of the transformation fund should therefore be restricted to expenditure used for transport of the sector, operating within the sector, including the upskilling of the potential homeowners and property practitioners. Therefore, the purpose of the transformation fund should be to provide opportunities for the historically disadvantaged individuals including women, youth, to become property to a citizen and therefore to be able to compete with the established community as own. So if you can recall, to say that the community has been very clear, to say, look, you need a sector not to thrive. In order for you to drive transformation, you need a sector not to have a transformation fund. But the fund itself, you must have a clear mechanism under which program that they're going to run. Because you cannot have a transformation fund, which is the fund that is going to fund some other activities, not activities associated with the transformation. That is what Ekyo Lumaza is supporting. We said, look, we need to have a transformation fund, and the sector itself must contribute to the transformation fund. But be as it may, the transformation fund itself must, of course, focus solely on the transformational programs that will also outline the transformation chapter chair, either by way of the insertion of the new insertion and also to regulating under it, to which extent that we have to do that. Because as it stands now, under transformation, we will have to insert the provision that the minister will prescribe the measures and do, and those particular measures must be prescribed by way of regulations. Minister must also prescribe, you know, the incubation programs. Those other programs must be listed and must be provided for. So their concern is that it cannot be, it should not be used for something else. But generally, Chair, they were also of the view that we should be cautious about the application of the FICA as well in relation to this particular transaction and also in issues that relate to other pieces of legislation that also governs or regulates to a limited extent the financial transaction. That is why even the auditors and the financial guys were saying we should distinguish between the business transaction and the financial transaction. Because in a process, while you're acquiring a property, in the sale of the property, there is a financial transaction that takes place in between. So we needed the government to distinguish there. I think their comments here were very fair, you know, and very, you know, supportive of the issues that we are raising. The other organization chair that made a submission was the Center for Affordable Housing. You can recall, you know, very clear, chair, that they were basically supportive of the bill, but they were raising issues around transformation in general. Their issue was that the previous disadvantage, to which extent that they can be allowed to participate, and what are the mechanisms upon which they have to be dealt with, the issue of the Section 46 priority fund certificate, and the issue of the trust account as well, which is a barrier of entry. They are raising the same issues to say that the priority fund certificate is issued for a particular period. Others are raising to say that why can't we not have the priority fund certificate that has been issued for a particular period? Can be for a period of 3 years, in possession for a period of 3 years, but we assess you from time to time in respect of that, and also the trust account as well, the audited financial statement. The previous disadvantage, they don't have money if they're not doing business over the period of time. And in particular, they were crying that because the state is not assisting them to have an access to the store, you know, but they cannot even afford, you know, this auditor. Many of them, Chair, the states have shown to say, if you have a look in the last 5 years, most of the principals who have deregistered, you know, which are previous disadvantaged, you know, those are the ones that could not comply with the issue of the audit report and so forth due to, you know, to the cost associated with it. So, Chair, they were raising those other kinds of issues to try themselves to, you know, to bring to our attention. And issues of barriers of entry, which will spell out very clear that will be dealt with by World Transformation. The other organization that made the presentation was the Black Property Practitioners Association of South Africa. Chair, they were also on it as well, in relation to transformation. That the transformation need to spell out and make it clear and also compel the state to play a role in assisting the previous disadvantage for them to participate in the market, because without having an access to stock, Chair, you know, it's very difficult for them, you know, to make business out there. I think what's critical importance that they've raised was that, remember, this is a commission-based business. You know, as and when you're not doing business, if you don't get access to stock, it means to say that you cannot even comply going forward. And remember, the EAB, the one that you must have a new FFC, the financial statement, the audited financial statement you must submit, the CPD you still have to do. So all those particular kinds of issues, Chair, they are very relevant, actually, you know, to the various of interest. So they were raising those particular kinds of issues to make sure to say that how do we advance the issue of transformation within the sector. So their focus was on Section 69, Chair. But remember, we have agreed that Section 59 cannot be dealt with by way of a section and under general provision. No, so we remove it and substitute it with the chapter dealing with the establishment of the OMA. The other organization that submitted chair is the Adams and Adams. Remember Adams and Adams chair, he came under the spotlight in that meeting. For obvious reasons that look, they were representing CETA. And the services CETA, you know, they advanced the issues. Their interest chair, you know, was very fair, notwithstanding that, because they came to me and to present and said, look, the training is our space. Basically what they're trying to do, if I remember very well, Ronald Baca raised the issue, that look, they wanted to protect their own space in terms of training, that the training belongs to us. So we cannot, but we need to have a formal arrangement. But the current arrangement, what do we say in Chad? We're saying that the current arrangement and the MOU with EAB is working very well. But if it's not legislated, then there is a new leadership there, then we might change and all those issues. So basically what we were saying, Chad, that the issue that relates to training, in particular Section 3, if you can ever look at it, that the object of the bill is to provide for education, training, development of property practitioners and candidate property practitioners. Their issue was to the fact that actually in terms of the SACWA qualification, so they've been given the particular legislative mandate to provide training. But however, what they're trying to say is that the EAB can of course participate. They are not saying that they are limiting the scope of participation of the EAB into the qualification or in the training sector. But they can of course participate by contributing to the modules, the manuals, whatever that the material that are going to be produced for training of the property practitioner. So their view was to the fact that wherever reference is made to training and providing for education, you know, it should be only be left, you know, for them to deal with it. So Chair, those are the issues that will of course, you know, you will take guidance in terms of, you know, there are issues that they have raised, but their issues are very clear, Chair, in a sense. You know, as a state entity that is provided with that responsibility, we'll have to see as to how do we reach out to each other in terms of making sure that the manuals that we produce or the training, you know, manuals that we produce, you know, for our property practitioners, you know, are basically aligned to our professional requirements, you know, that we require in the EAB. So those are the issues, Chair, that they have raised in particular. But under general, we were supportive, you know, of the bill in general. The other issue, Chair, that you raised was the issue that also relating to the space, the issue of the grant, you know, Section 38 of the bill that is in the grant. We are saying that the issue of the grant, the issue in various grants, you know, in various sectors. So, but now if the EAB is going to make reference to grants as well, in terms of the training, you know, provision, so it might, of course, limit, you know, their scope. It was more like, Chair, you know, trying to protect their own terrain in the sense of saying, look, please be very careful when you are using the words or the expression training and also the grant associated with that particular training, because we are bestowed with that responsibility through the East Levy to get that and provide that particular of, you know, issues of grant in relation to that particular process. So that was their issue, Chair, in relation to all the issues that they have raised. And there was an issue that was raised as well, Chair, by Ribosa, the owners of the business. So they have raised the issue, Chair, the Ribosa, that Section 2 in terms of application of the Act is saying that submit that application of the Act is too wide and create many ambiguities and uncertainties. I remember, Chair, the real intention there, we have passed that stage of saying, look, we have a look in terms of why the definition is too long, because we wanted to make sure that all the role players that are playing a role in the property sector, you know, get regulated. And to a limited extent, Chair, we have excluded others through their own persuasion to say, look, the department were regulated elsewhere, but have a look in the manner in which we are regulated. We were done that. But we also saying that we wanted to make sure to say that all those other ones that are not, but which are playing a role, say we wanted people to make sure to say that they can regulate them to a limited extent. They must give us an opportunity for us to implement the legislation and see. Then we'll come back and say that, no, look, there's a problem in terms of this decision on this thing. But the other issue that they have raised here was the issue of the Section 46, the fiduciary fund certificate. Reporters have been that the annual renewal of the FFC is very strenuous share, and they have the view that it must be done, you know, it should not be renewed annually. They are saying that they are proposing that it should be done, you know, each and every 3 years, because it's costly if you are doing it each and every year. So they have the view that we should do it in 3 years share. But when we deliberated on the chair, the department was like, look, but notwithstanding their request, we still need to make sure to say that there is a compliance, you know, as and when they are doing it. But it's a fair point, chair, to say that, look, if it's renewed in 3 years, it's fine, you know that you are issued with the certificate for a period of 3 years. But our responsibility will be upon us, will be bestowed with the responsibility of making sure that, how do you monitor that in any event, that there is a proper compliance. In any event, with what we want to achieve. Ribosa Federal Chair submit that the requirement of the BE certificate, especially in a small business, is costly and very often. So it's an issue that Chair that we wanted to have a look at. And to a limited extent, others have agreed to say that, look, those particular provisions that relate to the BE requirement and advancement of the people's disadvantage, we'll deal with them by way of that particular new session in the transformation. Then the board has submitted, Chair, that Section 53, similarly, you know, like the accountant and IRBA and all those other ones, that the board has submitted that opening of the tax account should be optional, in the sense that, you know, like we're saying, to say that if you're a small business, I've already alluded to say that we'll deal with my own, the threshold. If you're a small business, it will be too costly for you to get an audited financial statement and all that things is going to take you out of the business. And in particular, if you're not doing that particular business. We have agreed on that particular instance here with the boss that, look, if that is the case that you are raising, then it's fine, it's a fair comment that you are raising, then we'll deal with it. They have raised share the other issue that relates to the BE certificate, you have considered it, and the trust account that we have considered. That issue, which is considered to be fair and raised by others. The other organization, Chair, that have raised that major submission was the National Property Forum, NPF. The NPF chair, they categorized, so that those are, they represent, you know, the majorities of the black estate agents. The marginalized, the one that has been disqualified, the one that has been taken out of the business, the one that are crying for government to assist, you know, in terms of giving them access to stock. Okay, what they're trying to say, they've submitted that individual to the sheriff, the issues, those issues that was raised by other sheriffs, which has been considered, they're also raising the issue of Section 53 of the trust account. NPF has submitted that 99% of the estate agents do not use trust account. In particular within the way they operate, their membership in particular. NPF therefore proposes that say that it should not be a mandatory for a business that has an annual turnover of less than 1.5 million to open a trust account. Remember, Chair, when we're proposing 2.5. They are coming, they are saying that, you know, they want 1.5. So we need to strike the balance there in order to reflect it and make a new proper insertion and substitution in the new provision dealing with the transformation that the 1.5 fair is the 1.6, what informs the 2.5. Because the 2.5, if we take it more than, you know, we'll come to the issue that, you know, Jimmy was saying as well, Chair, that, you know, we'll end up excluding so many, because we should be very careful as well of the threshold that we're trying to achieve. We can say 2.5, but we might find ourselves putting ourselves in the foot that the majority of them is half of the industry. The one that we're trying to achieve are the ones that we, you know, excluded. But if you say 2.5 generally, it will suffice. Section 54 change was also raised. Keeping of a country's record is not necessary, however, it is optional due to the cost associated with it. So that will also deal with the issue that relates to that. Then we are saying that the keeping of the record, once you deliberate on the change, should be reduced from the period of 10 years, you know, to the period of 5 years. Then we'll deal with it by way of the substitution of that particular provision there. It talks about 10 years, if it's going to be too close. But a reasonable period, you know, therefore will be the period of 5 years. But like I've indicated, it will reflect very clearly what track changes in the new revised, you know, bill that will make reference thereto. They have raised, of course, without fail, the issue of Section 69. Section 69, which I remember, deals with the transformation of the sector. That NVS admit that transformation of the sector has been dedicated a chapter, that's what they are saying. We should apply the time frames, the target, the prescribed provision where we empower the minister, for the minister, you know, to prescribe the measures, to prescribe the, you know, the incubation program, to prescribe any intervention, you know, mechanism that the state has to do. Must be prescribed by the minister by way of, you know, of regulation. So the empowering provision of the minister in that issue is very critical. They are also submitting, Chair, that certain turnover amounts of the business exclusion fund must be paid into the transformation fund and managed by the sector. So in principle, they are saying that the real owners of the estate, you know, the, you know, the reversers, you know, the, they must also contribute and see how do they effectively contribute towards the transformation fund and how the transformation fund, you know, should be carried and to achieve a particular purpose. So, Chair, I think they have raised the particular issue very sharply. So those are the issues that we were raising. The other submission was made by the Black Property Practitioner. Their focus, Chair, was on Section 69. Chair, while we're debating the new insertion of the new chapter on transformation, they were also making a provision, Chair, that the issue of the amnesty of the previous disadvantage must be considered. Remember, Chair, I've raised the issue of say that if you have a look, our research was, you know, has shown us that in the last 5 years, many of our the previous disadvantaged, you know, they've been disqualified. They have dropped out of the profession for the reason that they have raised in here. The cost, you know, all the other issues of the financial statement, the past account, they have raised all those other issues there. So they have the view that, Chair, the issue of the amnesty should also be considered to bring back all those previous principals who have been disadvantaged because of the system of compliance and all of that things. People are going to consider that. But I think, Chair, that's the issue that we also need to be very clear about, and also those measures that must be prescribed by the minister must be the measures that are going to necessarily achieve, you know, all these intended purpose. You know, to give them the amnesty to come back into the industry. Because some are saying, Chair, while they've raised, they were saying that in the past, you know, in the past, you know, they referred to in the past to Egypt. That in the past, Chair, they were saying that it was very easy for one to become an estate agent. They just go in there, write, you know, you vote exam, then you are an estate agent, and you do this. So, but for now, it takes you about a period of 2 years for you to go to that particular period. And that particular period is very costly as well. You do the NQF4, NQF5, for you to become a principal, it will take you about 18 months. So it's a very long process. So, but the shortest part of it is that we need to come with the interventional programs, which are going to assist them, you know, to shorten the process of qualification. And in particular, remember, the ultimate point, Chair, although we are of course married, you know, to the professionalization of the sector, because people in here want to come into the sector to do business. We are giving young people, we are giving women, we are giving people with disability an entrepreneurial opportunity. I think we should not forget about that, Chair. That when they come into the business, they want to do business. So, but if you are making it difficult because of the regulatory framework, or want to do business, you are not going to achieve what you want to achieve. So they were looking at that particular instance, so that we need to have a look at those particular kind of exemptions that are going to be granted. Because in the past it was only, it will take you 3 months. But there are of course certain interventional mechanisms that we can come up with here, under the transformation, under the regulations and the transformation, that will come up with those particular programs, which is going to support, you know, the period that we want to shorten. The last point here that they've raised in there was the issue to say that, like for example, if you want to recruit black principal who will of course qualify. Let's say a person who's got a very strong business acumen, secondly got the lesser qualification to be exempted. That person gets exempted, but are you really going to tell a person who's got a very strong business acumen, being successful in business, to be subjected to the period of the 1 year of learnership under the principal of another person for a period of 12 months? So those particular things, we need to come up with those interventional mechanisms that if I'm a business person being successful in business, but I want to recruit you to come and join the sector, it's an easy part of the mechanism that we can recruit them to come to the sector, but don't make it difficult for them. They can go and write the board exam and pass and go through the process of 3 months or so, and then they qualify. But don't allow them to go and serve an intern and a principal, a principal for 12 months. You write log books and all those things. Those mechanisms that are going to discourage others from joining the sector. So those are the issues that we have raised. These are very critical that we deal with as part of the mechanisms and intervention method, you know, by the minister in the regulation. Chair, the other organization that they submitted was SAPUA, which is, they submitted there in heaven, and now they have also submitted, they are saying that they have been ignored for a period of time. They have even, you know, submitted an email to the company, you know, to the secretary that they were not, you know, considered. But however, Chair, yes it may, we as the department, we have a very progressive discussions with them last week, and even the other month, even throughout the other years. Chair, the issues that they have raised in general is the issues that are very clear and worth to be considered. In here, Chair, those are the South African Property Owners Association. Those are the owners as well. South African Property Owners Association. Those are the owners of the property. So they were raising certain issues there that on Section 14, Chair, and 16 and 56 of the Consumer Protection Act, we need to have a look in terms of the alignment of that piece of legislation with the CPA, you know, in terms of issues that we're raising. That means that the EFB should apply for an exemption on the third section of the CPA. That means that they should acknowledge that it will be important for those who are actively involved in the day-to-day running of the property practitioner's business to be registered as property practitioner. We have agreed with them, Chair. And they also raised the issue of Chapter 2, composition appointment of the board. Of course, I mean that it's critically important that the board should be representative of various regulated subsectors of the property. That if we are regulating for the broader spectrum, and our definition is very long, it includes all those other sectors, isn't that important for us to include, or for the committee to include, that the board itself must be representative of all those people that we are trying to bring into the sector? Remember, if we are bringing auctioneers, we are bringing assessors, if we are bringing all those other ones into the definition, is not the prudent for them to be represented into the board. Those are the issues that they have raised here. But which is an issue that we are pursuing this year, you know, to consider, to have a look at. Section 37 says they were also talking about the issue of the limitation of the amounts which may be paid from the fund in some of the categories of claims. Those are the issues here in a practical sense that we looked at. But quite frankly, those are the issues that we have discussed with the state advisors, and we are in agreement in the issues that they have raised. Because they are proposing, like other organizations, they are proposing a very clear insertion. What is there that we have to substitute, and what is the new insertion? You know, and what is there that we have to omit, you know, in respect of what they want to do. They have raised also, Chair, like, you know, Ribosa, like, you know, IGBA. They have raised the provision of Section 53, the trust account. The trust account, you know, Chair, it has been raised. Let us admit that the wasted cost associated with the holding of the trust account, having some of the auditors each and every year, even where the trust account remains abused, placed a further burden on the world promoting transformation and participation in the property sector. Even whether it's used or not used, you just have to audit. And those are the people they have to pay for the cost of the audit. Chair, their general comment was also in relation to the issue that we raised in section 4, and also they are saying support efforts that means that the non-listed property owners company should not be exempted from being classified as property practitioners. That is not the case. And also they are issuing the issue of the exemption share. They are raising also issue of section 34, the primary purpose of the fund. You know, they are raising the particular issue chair which you have considered. But what that means that the EAB, that in terms of the section 18 of the EAB, the fund is to reimburse the person who has suffered a pecuniary loss by the reasons of theft of trust money by the individual. However, unlike section 34(1) of the bill, such claims are not limited to theft by the individual who are in possession of the FFC at the time of the theft. Therefore, support that means that the interest cost should remain. We had a deliberation of the chair. We are, of course, making a decision because when you have a look at the interpretation part of it and the application, which is very critical, so we all have to be able to chair. And also, we have the view that section 48(3) chair of the FFC, the one that they are proposing, which is already dealt with, we propose that the same provision should apply to the provision of representing that he or she should be deemed to be in possession. The one that we have emphasized of the FFC for the purpose of this act, and these are the authority issued with the FFC. So that particular one said somewhat very clear and has been dealt with. The other issue said that they have raised was the issue of the powers of the inspector. Section 28, powers of the inspector to enter section 3. So we had a look at the chair. Remember that was emanated of the Constitutional Court, you know, the Ocean Alliance matter. So that particular matter was dealt with the Constitutional Court, and then we did have a look at the constitutionality provision part of it with the Office of the Chief Secretary to advise us, and we are of course actually convinced in the manner in which we have reworked the particular bill to say that, no, look, there is no any other issue in relation to the powers of the inspector to enter a private what do you call it, premises, because many of the institutions say they operate from their houses or from their garages and so forth. So we should not just let an inspector invade the premises, but you need to communicate and also make sure that proper process is issued and is followed, even though and the warrant is issued by the court and the relevant court with the competent authority within the jurisdiction that is going to issue that. Chair Sapua also issues the issue of section 47, the possession and the validity of the fidelity fund certificate from the period of 3 years of finance. It's clear, Chair. They have agreed on 55, they have raised section 60 of the Code of Conduct of Property Practitioner, they have raised, Chair, and then we have the view that supporting the adoption of the Code of Conduct, we have developed the Code of Conduct for the Code of Conduct, how do you conduct themselves and so forth. Section 62 says the undesirable practice, the submitted provision will be deleted. Federal capital property practitioners who have successfully discharged official duties, notwithstanding the fact that the registration of transfer was not effective, should be entitled to commission. That's what we have dealt with, Chair. So look, it will be very unfair that as and when a transaction happens, because remember there's a business transaction and a financial transaction. Once those particular requirements have been fulfilled, then there's no reason actually, you know, for the to withhold actually, you know, the commission, Chair. The issue of this section 67, the language of agreement, has been raised by others as well. The last organization, Chair, that they have submitted was the Council, South African Council for Property Evaluators. This one, Chair, they will be following you throughout to make sure that, you know, their issues are considered. And, Chair, we have agreed with them after the engagement with them that we concur with the issues that they have raised. And the same issue will be reflected in terms of the new and the amendment. Thank you, Chair. Yes, I rest.
And you do it in that fashion. Thank you very much. Excuse me, Wenyaka. Those were the responses from the department on the oral submissions that were made by organization on the 4th of September. I think members will be quite comforted by the fact that with a lot of definitions that have been proposed are going to be added, and lecture will be covered in the chapter on transformation, which will replace the chapter on the combat. And the only things that I did not hear you properly on, probably, but it's fine. Let me wait when we deal with the second summit, and might be covered. But thank you very much. I think the department has tried its best in terms of responding to the organization. Remember, members, what is going to happen is that once we are finished with this meeting today, hopefully by the end of the week, we will then be presented with the B version of the bill, which will then have these amendments added in the bill. So you will have a bill then that will look totally different from the one that you had after the bill has been added. But I thought before we then deal with the provinces, let's take a break. But it will be just 15 minutes. Half past 10, let's get back. Let's take a break and then we'll go with the process. And I'm almost sure that this second part is going to be much quicker than the first part, because some of the comments have already been responded to in the initial one. But let's allow the comments that people want to make on the first part, but we will wait until all of them are done. But yeah, it's just a straightforward process. The provinces where we've been and the comments and what the proposals have been, if you can take us through the weather.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Member. The first province after the fort, we went to Eastern Cape in East London. Chair, the South African Property Valuers Association, they followed us to that province. They have raised their issue, Chair, in terms of the regularization, over regularization. It's an issue that we have dealt with in the first presentation. We concurred with that. But the critical importance on this one is the submission that was made by academics. The two professors from Nelson Mandela University and the Fort Head came to make a very comprehensive submission, which is the submission that was received by us. But the ultimate point here that they have raised is that the issue is that they can see this particular bill and all those intended purposes. But according to the academics, the intention of this particular legislation is to address issues of transformation. That's why even they were saying that in the preamble itself, in the long title, a reflection on transformation must come out very clear. Because if we have a look at the draft itself, when you are regulating the sector, the old legislation, certain provisions there were simply just substituted them with the new ones and all other things and moved them and inserted them into the new bill. That is the regulatory space. How do you qualify to become an Asia, FFC, all those other things? They were then and they're here. But what they were saying was that the focus of this particular committee must be on the issue of transformation. That's why they want to see the issue of element of transformation on the long title and also on the preamble. It must be clear. They want also to see a chapter. So if you're not dealing with it, then it means to say they won't be convinced. They were also saying, Chair, on the object of the bill, that there should be an issue of the check and balance on the sector's performance. The issue of the check and balance, Chair, of the sector performance, in particular on transformation imperatives, which will rethink the monitoring evaluation of capabilities. Chair, those are the issues that they have raised, and their submission was very strong And it's a submission that we have currently considered as well under the new chapter of transformation. They are proposing a number of other insertions there, the new provision in respect of the transformation imperative, transformation program, transformation information program that you want to track. They are also proposing that, Chair, that we should create a mechanism for continuous monitoring and evaluation of the sector's performance on the transformation imperatives. We need to have that particular provision there to say that there should be a continuous monitoring of the sector's performance on transformation. We should not only have a provision and a chapter there. It is a good thing to have. But however, there are no mechanisms that we have to monitor that. That is why I'm very strong and consistent, Chair, to say, look, those are some of the other measures that the Minister will have to also regulate upon. To say that in the monitoring space, we should have a monitoring mechanism and which are the instances, you know, annually either they have to submit or entities or the chairs that is established, you know, by various, you know, institutional violence, they must submit the research outcome or the monitoring, you know, of transformation within the sector. So that's what they are proposing, Chair. The other thing that they are proposing is the composition of the board. They submit, Chair, that amongst is the skills and competency required to efficiency and efficiency of the board, advance that the policy analysis and research should be added. What they want, Chair, because, you know, academics must be, you know, they produce the research. So they want to make sure to say that as and when we come to the monitoring aspect, they should also play a role and also in the board, you know, so that they can provide that capacity of the research that may be required from time to time. And Chair, that is a fair comment. Chair, on chapter 11, with regard to section on the 69 on property transformation, you know, they are proposing a number of things, Chair, that there should be independent mechanism to research or South African research chair for transformation, for property transformation sector must be established. They want the chair. But Chair, when we deliberated on it, we were saying that look, it will be desirable under the circumstances to have a generic provision that is going to allow all the institutions of higher learning, either at their own cost, if they have the capacity to establish the chair, you know, on transformation of the property sector. So that other institutions of higher learning may find that they don't have enough resources of establishing that, but as and when, so that all the institutions of higher learning, if they want to establish and participate, if they have the interest or they have the key interest in the real estate and the property sector, they can establish their particular chair. So they have the view that the chair on the property transformation should be created in partnership with the National Research Foundation. And there should be a number of other processes, Chair. So they are proposing a number of things that we have considered currently in terms of the bill. And also they are proposing the number of composition of that chair. So I'm not going to bore you on that. They further propose that the chair should submit the research from time to time aimed at achieving the scientific analysis and the research of those other issues. So their submission was very clear, Chair, in terms of what they want, and then we'll consider it in terms of the current revise that we have on Friday. They also submitted, Chair, generally that, you know, transformation should feature in all the particular space, and also they have the view to say that the role of the we should not close doors for the traditional leadership. You know, we should find space in terms of them either, you know, taking in terms of the application of the Act. We should not forget to visit the lesson when we are applying the piece of legislation in relation to the issue that might affect them. They say that the rural urban dynamic in property sector growth and transformation, the contribution of the property sector in urban social transformation and economy. So they wanted to make sure that how do we advance the issue of transformation, not only generally in relation to the property sector, as and when it contributes over 7 trillion in our GDP, how do you make sure so that there is that inclusive growth? The inclusive growth is the way that they use from time to time, Chair, that we make sure not to do that. And the Fort Hare University, Chair, they have raised the similar issues. They have indicated the same issues of transformation, and then we should remove it under general provision. I can even repeat and say that why is it under general provision? Is it general? So we should have a chapter on it, you know, and we have given and they have submitted something to us, say, you know, in writing relation to what they are proposing that needs to be affected. So that was the hotel, and there was also which is properties. You know, Chess was very vocal, you know, on the issue of transformation, the issue that relating to issue of the commission, the issue of the marketing, the issue of the assistance from the state, you know, to assist in respect of the access to stock, and the issue of the role play, other role players who are playing a role, and in particular the developers as well. There are lots of people that are playing a role within the property sector. She even spoke very strongly about the barriers of entry, that there are barriers of entry that she had mentioned specifically that we needed to know to prescribe, you know, under the transformation, the issue of the requirements for soft skills, you know, that you have raised, will be dealt with by world regulation. So we needed to, you know, share very important kind of issues. Lastly, you have raised the issue that developers should not be regarded as property practitioners, irrespective of whether they sell their own properties or not. She further submitted that the main issue is the unavailability of stock to sell in general. So those are the issues here, but like I've indicated, that the responsibility that is going to be bestowed on the state to provide a very clear mechanism upon which it can, of course, assist. Like I've already indicated, Chair, that the public works is a custodian of state assets. The provinces, they do have their own assets. The state entities, they do have assets. The land that they dispose. The typical example that I normally use, Chair, is the intervention that is done by the Free State government, where they've made access to the stock, you know, to the previous disadvantaged estate agent with a particular threshold. So they are participating there, and they were talking about a threshold, and we're talking about the value of the project to be about over 500 million. So I think it will take us some more. So those are the issues that we have raised in the Eastern Cape, Chair. The services sector as well, Chair, there was a submission also as well, Chair, by BEM Shangana Property, this is the National Property Forum. Chair, we have raised the same issues of transformation, the disqualification, the current disqualification of the, you know, of the previous, you know, disadvantage, the principals that they follow in the process, the estate agents who don't, you know, have the trust accounts as required in terms of the act, they don't have it because it's too expensive, you know, to open such and to audit such. So many of them, they confess that they are not in possession of the valid forensic certificate because of those issues of the cost that have been raised. That is why many of them, they are also crying that by way of regulations, we should prescribe, you know, the mechanism for amnesty, that at least they should come back to the sector and then participate. And they also submitted here that the services sector involvement needs also a lot of attention, that in terms of the development of qualification and training, like for example of the CPD, continuous development program that has been, professional development program that is initiated by the EAD, we needed to have services to over and above, you know, to have a look at it. In this regard, strategy and partnership collaboration should be consolidated between the two entities in respect of the application of this particular act. That is the issue that has been raised as well. And then we are dealing with it by way of those new sessions. And then, Chair, NPF also raised the exception of the exemption of the private sellers to register property practitioners. Remember, Chair, they became the raised issue of the private sellers that are selling properties, and as a result, they make, you know, the cake to be, you know, smaller and smaller. So we needed to regulate those private people who are selling, you know, their properties on the internet. They're talking about all those other things, the sale of property everywhere. Chair, they have lastly raised the issue of Section 51, for instance, which are not entitled to remuneration in certain circumstances. We have raised them, but the issue, Chair, it was raised by other entities they were going to deal with, that, you know, as and when, you know, the property transaction has been concluded and the difference between the financial transaction, as and when all those other issues have been dealt with, then there's not necessarily a requirement why you have to hold the commission for that particular individual, so that we can attract, you know, this issue of payment of commission. Remember, Chair, this is a commission based. Once you hold on to the commission for too long, the individual just, you know, go out of business. It's very easy. So that's what to be very easy. The issue of the extension of the section, Mrs. Ronico T. Chair, submitted the issue on section 51, which was dealt with on the trust account. That the trust account is very costly and all the issues here that were raised also by Ian. Chair, those are the issues that were raised in the Eastern Cape, generally, but the main focus on the Eastern Cape was the issue by the academics and the issue that was raised by Ms. Timmy in relation to the bias of ANC, the access to stock and all those other things. Those are the issues that were raised very strongly, sharply focusing on transformation. That is why, hence, your focus has been on transformation. It influenced, actually, you know, by this submission that we have received. Then, Chair, from the Eastern Cape went to KZN. The South African property owners, the owners were there, Chair. They submitted the same submissions, you know, as in Parliament. The issue of Section 7, composition of the board, I'm not going to go through that. They raised all those issues, Chair, that we have considered. And I want to indicate, Chair, without any fear of contradiction, that the issue that they have raised, even if they can raise other issues thereafter, the issues and result of the issues that they have raised were considered. And those are the issues that were very relevant and directed to the bill itself, like I've raised them in the first presentation. So, Chair, the application of the Act they have raised, we have dealt with those. The other submission, Chair, in case that was made by the non-dimension of it to other properties, if you can recall, Chair, it was very vocal. The barriers of entry, Chair, was very clear. The issue of the cost of doing business with the EAB, it was raised very strongly. That the opening and the maintenance of the trust account is a barrier of entry. It has been raised on a number of occasions, both rich and poor. Remember, BASA has raised it. It's not only raised by the private disadvantage, it has been raised generally by the sector. So it is quite important to say that was one of the issues that we cannot, you know, basically just ignore. That will be tragic to justice for us too. And the issue of the business account here and the renewal of fees. That is why hence now we have considered the issue of saying we should rather have a deficit that is renewed each and every 3 years. But we will call for certain qualification, you know, in order for us to monitor the compliance. But for them to do business each and every year, that for example you can pay for 3 years. Like, for example, don't have to do it each and every year, and QNEAB and do all those other things that we are trying to do. In here, Chair, we'll also be trying to deal with the issue of the inefficiencies as well, as and when they arise, you know, elsewhere. Chair, we also raised the issue of Section 49, which was very clear that we need to substitute, of which we have agreed, that will exclude, you know, certain, you know, issues that they have raised by others as well, by way of substitution in the legislation. But generally, Chair, what he has said was that government should give stock to estate agents. Government should give stock. He further admits that the banks are denying black owners business of their distressed properties. That was all of the other issues, Chair, to say, you know, that we wanted to, you know, to advance this argument with BASA. To say that as and when they're disposing of those properties or those distressed properties, to which extent that they have to do that. I think interestingly, Chair, if you watch the news yesterday, there was a complaint, I think, that came from the real estate sector that the FMB has developed this new web now, which is going to give all the road players an opportunity for them to have an access to the distressed stock. So, you know, there was a little bit of complaint from other franchises to say, no, by so doing, you are exposing us now, you know, you are taking the business away from us, you know, all those other issues and so forth. But, you know, my view in there, Chair, was that it's more relevant in the transaction that we are doing now. See, the development happened, you know, maybe because of the interest that, you know, we have generated over the period of time on this legislation. That how do we deal with the particular issue? You know, the issue that we need to consider very strongly, that FMV is already advanced now in the sense of, okay, look, our distressed properties here, they are available. Look in the website. If you want to sell, sell. It's because in their business, they just want They just want Mondays and money. So it should not be preserved only for certain individuals. Because previously, you have most the list of people who are listed to do business with those banks. So I think it's a good step for them, in the right direction for them to do it, but I think it will give access actually not to stop in general. So yeah, I think those are the issues that have been raised, you know, by non-Burmese or into other countries. So those are the very comprehensive issues that they have raised. Chair, the South African Valuer Council, I'm not going to repeat that, they have submitted the same submission. And we are reiterating and taken through by the submission. And also the issue of the OPA chain, that's not an issue that we have considered. Then there were a property group chair that submitted that chapter 11, section 69 of property transformation. The property group submitted that the business envisioned to address transformation, and also there was the view very clearly here that we should have a chapter that deals with transformation. And all the issues of transformation and nature that they have raised, Chair, we have noted them. I'm not going to further deliberate on this anymore. And also there was a view that in chapter 4, the establishment, appointment and resources and powers of duties of the property practitioner. The OMBAT, Chair, raising issues and doubts about it, but that one is going to be substituted by the transformation chapter. The Mrs. Van Nickel also submitted here. Van Nickel submitted that the bill needs to clearly define who is a property practitioner. It is there, sure, because you know, others were worried that we got a very long definition in the history of the drafting of legislation. So I can see that Ms. Van Nickel wanted us to extend the definition. So we rather consider the other way around. But here, what you have considered very clear was the issue of the barriers of entry, like the rest. Like the cost of entering the business, you know, is too costly. We have to APF4, the FFC, CPD, you know, all those other things that we have to pay. You know, the cost and the renewal fees, you know, each and every time, so it's very costly for them to do that. So the provision under section 49, we're going to substitute it, you know, like we have agreed, you know, in the first presentation. They are also talking about the issue of franchising. Mr. Panika submitted that the bill of franchisor to be responsible for the action of the franchisee. You know, therefore the issue change in sort of transformation, we'll deal with it under transformation in relation to how do we advance the people and disadvantaged who are owning, you know, the other business, either franchisees or franchisors. I think you indicated to the person that you are learning in this process. Okay. So those are the issues that you are trying to clarify, Ms. Manika. Also, Ms. Manika has admitted that this section in its current form does not support transformation, because we are saying that, I'm sure he was referring to, because it's a clause, it's not a chapter, and then you're not prescriptive in terms of what is there to do, and to which extent that we empower the minister to prescribe certain measures that means to deal with transformation. Just Properties also submitted in their venture, their issue was about franchising. Just Properties submitted that the franchisor who fronting, there was an issue of fronting check. Remember, it was very clear that those are doing fronting. And fronting, there was also a proposal from one of the honorable members that it should be criminalized. So look, but we need to do it in line, any consideration of other pieces of legislation, remember, that of the BEE, that if you are doing funding, either in the construction sector, then we have to make sure that how do we align that particular issue with our own piece of legislation as well, to make sure that there are punitive measures around if you are caught doing that. The Mumma Law Attorneys, they came there. The more attorneys they submitted, Chair, but their submission was in relation to the role of the conveyors that should be clearly articulated in the bill. It is there, Chair, that the responsibility is also bestowed upon them to say as to when they're supposed to, you know, when they're supposed to dispose of the commission. So those are the issues that they have raised, and they have submitted some documentation to us, and of course we have dealt with it by way of the new concessions. James also submitted changes on the definition of one. What James has submitted was his concern was around the exclusion of managing agents, that in no way we're exposing the consumer if we don't include, if we exclude the managing agent from the application of the Act. So, Chair, that one has been dealt with. It has been submitted in the previous submission of them. You know, we concur, but the union session will be dealt with accordingly. The junk properties, Chair, they also submitted. Then the cartel attorneys also, Chair, submitted the same submission, but their main submission, Chair, was that the word in emerging agent should be defined under the definition. What is that mean by that? So that we can have a clear definition. In terms of, remember, Chair, when you advance transformation in terms of benefits that come from the state, you need actually to have a clear definition and a distinction to say that what is the meaning of an emerging agent? What is there that you want to achieve by that? So that we should not confuse the whole process with any other agent. The South African Property Valuers Association, they were also in there, Chair, you know, with us. So they submitted the same definition, you know, the same submission and the same comments we noted, and of course it will be dealt with by way of the new discussions as indicated in the previous presentation. The Small Business Institute, they are proposing to say that there should be the once-off 6 months assistance for the new entrants. To say that the new entrants into the market, we need to go to an assistance. It's similar to the submission of others, so that the new entrants must be given support by the state. The province, they do have properties. The municipalities do have properties. The entities of the government do have properties, so they need to be assisted. That is, they are, then, Mr. Lawrence also, when Lawrence was submitted, Chair, that the sector is overregulated, he further submit that it is extremely difficult for the new entrants. They were raising the same issue of the various things. So we need to do that so that we simplify the process. The mechanism will be dealt with by what transformation checks. The mechanism to shorten this long period, long process, which is costly. And the end also submitted, Chair, that proposes that the board must look at the interest of the property purchaser, especially advertising on billboards. Then it was noted, Chair, to say, look, the issue that we are trying to advance in principle here was that we should advance the access to information so that our people should be exposed, should know what is their right and their right under this particular legislation, to which extent that they are protected. Remember, this legislation, Chair, its intended purpose is to protect the consumer, you see, against the negligent, you know, of the estate agent, and also to have a recourse in the event that you suffer any pecuniary loss as a result of the conduct of an estate agent. So people need to know about it. So they need to, you know, to have that consumer, you know, that is out there. But it will also form part, you know, of that transformation aspect. So that how do you advance, you know, consumer awareness in order to achieve transformation change. That was the submission, Chair, that we made in there by all those stakeholders. Then the biggest interest, Chair, was in helping in Boxburg, excluding the University of Johannesburg came, Chair, to make a presentation that the way MTC is notified, the federal, the MEC, you know, they proposed a number of other, you know, insertions, Chair, which are basically there to enhance the, you know, the bill, you know, as it stands. And they further submit that while the division of property practitioners excludes attorneys and candidate attorneys, and the same as raised, you know, the both of them, the bill will be revised according to improve the chair. That's what we have indicated in here. Section 8, Chair, disqualification from the membership of the board. The UJ submit that while a person who is not a South African cannot be appointed as a board member. And we have advanced the constitutional reasons there that, remember, the main purpose of the Act is to deal with disqualification, including those who are lawfully residing in the Republic. as long as you are, you know, residing in the Republic lawfully, you know, and you qualify through the processes of the particular department, then we will not continue with that. And the issue chair, you chair that submitted that, it will deal with the issue that relates to the combat. We have also talked about the issue of Section 69. The academics also talked about the issue of transformation of the sector. We submit that the material plan, the transformation agenda. The agenda must be very clear, chair. If the agenda is not clear, you know, I think we'll receive a huge objection from the academics, from all corners. In the Eastern Cape, they're talking about it. In Johannesburg, they're talking about it. In KZ, they're talking about it. So it's quite clear, chair, that in the empowering provision, we'll have some power. The minister is very clear to regulate on those sectors and develop those measures. Section 7, promotion of the board, you just admit that there should be a consumer representative as a member of the board. They are proposing that, chair, that the consumer representative must be represented, but it's an issue that the committee will apply its mind as well when it's regarding those by cost. You know, with regards to that, but we don't hold any view on it. The consumer can be there, chair, if you are regulating. I think all the time there should be someone who's basically looking specifically, you know, on the interest of the consumer. Like they are doing that. During that lecture, there is a person who represents the consumer there, specifically dealing with those kind of issues. Chair, there was a submission by the Council of the Debt Collector. It was submitted before. Those are the issues that they have raised, the similar issues that they have raised as well in Parliament. Not going to go through that. And then we'll consider those issues that they have raised. Will be reflected. The South African Council for the Property Valuers Profession, they submitted, chair, they were there in Johannesburg again. And then the NPF as well, we were there, chair, raising the same issues of transformation. Then the Random Property Management, chair, I'll go there. They submitted the definition that the bills will be inconsistent with the CISOs. Remember, chair, when the previous submission has been submitted, the member was going to deal with the issue that was due to establishment of the Rombat. We talked about the barriers of entry, BE and tax clearance. We have dealt with those, chair. I think, you know, we're persuaded that we don't want to have all those unnecessary compliance mechanisms which are done elsewhere, that we must also bring it with us, where people are complaining about the barriers of entry. So those substitutions will be dealt with, and the omission of those particular insertions will be dealt with in the advice. The Section 49 will deal with that. 76, they further submit that the transitional provision not consider the right of the property petitioner. We have dealt with that one, chair. Generally, what they are saying is that the clarity of the role between the EAD and CISOs must be clearly defined. The Rental Housing Act with provision for this. Remember, the reason why you have said, chair, that you cannot have so many dispute resolution bodies. Because the rental also deals with the dispute between the landlord and the tenant in respect of the lease agreement. So you are being referred to the rental housing tribunal if you got a dispute in relation to that space. If you got a dispute within the sectional health environment or various schemes, the share block, you go to CISOs. Now, when you got the issue that relating to the estate agent, that go to this one. So those are the issues, chair, that, you know, prompted that particular division. The National Association of Managing Agents, that is NAMA, chair. NAMA had raised the issues as well before. He came and raised the same issues. But the managing agent should be considered. It is an international standard. You know, they were, of course, persuaded before because at this time they wanted to be excluded. They wanted to be regulated by CISOs. But chair, the managing agent will, of course, be regulated in terms of this piece. Sixth chair, Institute of Estate Agents of South Africa, ISA, they submitted the previous submissions. They raised the same issues, chair, which are repetitive with others. Section 47, prohibition of rendering of services without an FFC. The issue that was raised by a number of other ones, chair, that the issue of debt is supposed to be in possession is an issue. The issue of possession, chair, they've raised. The issue of the period similar to others, it goes 10 years or 5 years, we will consider the issue of keeping of counting records, because it's going to be very costly. We will consider the chair and we are persuaded to that aspect. Section 55.5, I just admit that in terms of parties may agree upon, whether proposed or alternative that the parties may agree in writing. That is the issue that relates into remuneration in certain circumstances. So that particular provision has been proposed. Section 65 chair, I also propose the new insertion that a property petitioner may not in any way pay or directly direct of any person or without the intention of the pay and pay for the exclusive right in a particular, you know, person. So those are the issues that we have considered, Chair, which were raised by them. The issue of section, you know, 67, the language of argument, it was raised and was dealt with, Chair, in line with the National Credit Act. Section 68, consumer education and information. We have noted that the issue that was raised similarly with regard to others. Section 69 of the transformation chair, they support the transformation and further propose the use of the levy duty to take certain percentage to contribute to the fund. To say that it is not far-fetched, Chair, that we can take, we can impose the levy to the owners of the business, you know, to support transformation to a certain extent. And that is exactly what I've been supporting, Chair, throughout. And Chair, there were also comments on the floor that, you know, were very generic. In respect of that, we don't want to leave everything out, you know, because of that. The definition of Section 1, there were also further submission of the exclusion of managing agent poses a risk to consumers, we have included it. There were also the issue of Section 4 exemptions. The submission concerned that the amount of work that the public practitioner regulator supposedly will have in processing exemptions. The exemptions, Chair, are intended, you know, to alleviate each of the barriers in certain circumstances where we empower the minister, you know, to prescribe, you know, instances of exemptions, you know, for the application of this act as and when deemed necessary. So those are the issues that were raised, the mandatory indemnity insurance, that why the property business must have the indemnity insurance. So those are the issues, Chair, like in any other profession that would have insurance, you know, just to cover you for certain instances. Section 66, mandatory disclosure, it was raised by other Chair, it will be in line with the issue of the language that they are complaining about. The language agreement in 66-67, it will be done in line with the provisions as set out in the National Credit Act. The Section 68, consumer education and information, that it should be in the language that is recommended of the National Credit Act. Section 61, the penalties, they are saying that the regulator does not have the power to impose to imprison property practitioner. I think that's the way, because there's a penalty clause. It's not the authority that is going to do that. And we know that they don't have a capacity, they are not a law enforcement agency. So I think that was the issue that was just raised. Then Thabo Chair raised the issue of the establishment and appointment of resources, that the office must appoint experienced members of the profession, you know, for them to participate and also to be on the board and the and also the owner. Generally, I was thinking that the bill must support the property practitioners. It was an issue that led into the support in terms of the access to business and also access to stock in general. Chair, from Houghton, then we went to the Limpopo province, in Polokwane to be precise, where our friends, the Property Builders Association, they were there, you know, following us, making sure that their views, you know, are being considered accordingly. And they are not going to go through that because they have agreed in principle with that. But Joe also submitted the provision of Section 55.15, which talks about paying commissions must be made so that the property practitioner whom they are working with are registered before paying them. The provision is very clear, Chair, in terms of the payment of the commissions, and we also wanted to make it easier for property practitioners that as and when the property transaction is concluded, the role that they have to play has been concluded, then they should not be the attorneys will not hear the children on their condition unnecessarily because it will take them out of the business. So it's quite important that they have raised that issue. The Bulukwane municipality was there as well, Chair. They have raised the issue that the board, the composition of the board of authority must have town planners as one of its board members to regulate the built environment. So they also want to be there so that they can guide the process and guide everyone in terms of that change. Chair, from Limpopo, we proceeded to the Free State, the City of Roses, where, as per your instructions of the committee, service sectors came and presented themselves with the executives and the council members, where they submitted their own submission this time around, not through Adams and Adams, but through the council itself. They submitted the issues that they raised, the training versus the grant, the training that is visited in terms of the bill by the EAB versus also the grant. So those are the issues shared that they considered. They better submit that section 3.4, the clause 3.4, that one of the objectives is to provide education, training and development of property practitioners and candidate property practitioners. We have considered that, Chair, that the recognition of that, we have recognized the role that they have to play in various sectors. So as and when we deal with that particular issue, it's an arrangement between the organs of the state that can still be managed through that particular process in terms of how do you participate in development of those training materials. Section 38.1 means that this is also a mandate which falls within them, the Crown. But Chair, those are the issues that we have raised, which they have raised together in Parliament. Then the South African Council for Property Valuers Profession, also the friends of the court, non-friends of the committee, they submitted here their own initial submissions. So I'm not going to go through their process. The Black Property Valuator, valuers as well, Chair, they are the friends of the committee. So they submitted as well, 1969, the transformation of the sector. We want clear mechanism, clear processes. We cry about the barriers of entry, the requirement of open trust account, payment of fees, the training of the CPD, the pay, so all of the other things that you're complaining about. So that will be dealt with by the new substitution and the new section 249. Chair, the submissions in this state was all about those particular issues that relate to transformation, the barriers of entry, and all those other issues, including the terms of the committee that they submitted, all these issues that they submitted. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Those submissions from provinces, which don't differ much from the submissions that were done in Parliament, but then came out from maybe just question, just clarify two things before probably I just ask them to comment. One, there was a big issue about the bill not only regulating property practitioners but also giving support in terms of training and I can't remember exactly how much it was. There was a big, I think it came from Eastern Cape, that it must not just concentrate on the regulate. So I just wanted to check if that will be catered for in the transformation chapter or if it can. And the second part is that you keep on saying the other areas will be dealt with in the regulation.
Yes.
I wanted to check if the regulations will be read on Friday as well with the new version of the bill or the regulations will come later so that we have some understanding if you can just clarify those two things before I just probably ask the member to comment.
Thank you very much. You are correct that the issue that relating to the general support was raised on a number of occasions. So say, look, let's not look is an amazing effect, you know, only, but we need also to provide the support mechanism. And those support mechanisms, Chair, will be spelled out very clearly under the transformation chapter. The support mechanism, because one thing that we want to propose is, we're not only going to propose the establishment of the transformation fund to support transformation, but we're going to propose that in support of that, there should be measures that are prescribed, you know, from time to time, you know, by the minister that I prefer, to say that those particular measures will be in line with the intention and the purpose of that particular chapter. It goes also to the regulation check. The regulations will be dealt with after this particular process, because what we're trying to do, only why I emphasize on that, I emphasize on that so that we should not omit or forget the children to empower, you know, the measure to do regulations on certain things. Because it's quite important in the sense that the details of the matter, Chair, in terms of when we say that the authority or the minister may prescribe measures, you know, to advance transformation, in, we need to make sure to say that all those particular measures must be, because we should not forget that we need to empower the minister to prescribe those particular measures. We should not just mention it. So that it should be very clear, Chair, that once we finalize this particular process, then we develop the regulations. Once we develop the regulations will only be in line with what you have requested the minister to prescribe. So it will be dealt with once you conclude, you know, this particular process in respect of this bill.
Okay. Thank you very much. As we hear comments from them, I think in the meantime, thank the department for a job well done in this in terms of the comments that have been made both from the parliamentary process and the provinces that we created. Honorable Ademir, followed by Honorable Stoney. Can we get the mic followed by Honorable
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity, and thank you very much, Quincy, for the number of presentation. My clarification question is, I can see the majority of the submissions are in concurrence with the department. And then I just want to get clarity on those that you have written for noting. What is happening on that one, those ones that are for noting? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honorable Stone.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to all for the credit for this presentation and the department. But my Chairperson is on the traditional leadership, because when you check the department not had that, then should be the only NCOP development process is still in the traditional. Now, I'm worried if they said, because NCOP is a lab after we have debated in the I want to find out how our work will cooperate when they are not dealing with it now, before it goes to NCOP. And the last one, Chairperson, I want to check about the issue of legal practitioners. Because there is that crisis when we was here in the issue of physical consciousness. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now,
I think Chairperson, the presentation itself did or does capture most of the inputs adequately so. But I think for me, what would need to be clear on the draft that will come out is how is the transformation fund to be utilized, how is it going to be utilized, under what cases or instances. But also, linked to that, I think somewhere there was a proposal to have an exemption on the same transformation file. I think we must just be careful of how we deal with that one. But we'll see when we get to the draft. Because for me, I would clearly say that those that transformation is directed at should be the ones that are exempted contributing towards the transformation fund. So the beneficiaries thereof should be the ones that should be exempted. But generally, there should be no exemption on the transformation fund. So I'm just saying that, I'm saying that because we might find that the whole objective of having the transformation fund will be defeated by the same exemption that would have to put in place. So I'm not saying on that chapter we must just be clear and make sure that there is no ambiguity as well. Last chair, I think that for me, I'm looking forward to seeing the draft, and so I could then look at it and see whether it really talks to what we wanted to achieve, and if that's the case, then I'll be covered.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, Honourable Staff. Honourable
Thanks, Chair. I also welcome the work that has been done by the department, capturing what has transpired at Parliament and also across the provinces. As we have said before, Chair, the transformation travels across almost all the submissions, and therefore welcome, and as far as House also is going to be dealt with under the regulations that will come through. The question of the threshold, I would really request that the department looks again at the question of threshold with regard to exemption. The department was proposing 2.5. There's a submission that also decreases it to 1.5. But either of the two submissions are actually an impediment to the people that we require to empower. Just as an example, two transactions of 730 are already at 1.5. And if we are talking also about stock, it means for the year that person is therefore required not to be exempted if the exemption is at 1.5. So I would request that the department raise it to even more than 2.5. If you have 10 parcels of land at 100,000, it's nothing for the whole year. So I would request that we look at that. The recognition of either prior learning or prior experience, I think it should be taken into account, because it has also been put as a barrier in as far as the qualification criteria is concerned, and it has come across a number of submissions. The support has already been covered in terms of how the transformation fund is going to be supportive and all the legislation is going to support new entrants. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Colman and Member. And I'm quite happy to the department that, you know, the big issues that you raise across the board, you really tried your best. The issue of the trust fund, which was a big thing, you've dealt with it. The issue of the FFC, which was a big issue among the people that are practicing in this sector. The issue of the duplication of membership, which made the values to follow us all over, you've dealt with. The issue of the structured training, the issue of the transformation across the board. For me, I think you've done well. We, as Honorable Baba said, we're looking forward to looking at the bill in now, in its new version, next week when it comes out, where then we will have the comfort that these issues have been covered. We also want to be comforted by the fact that, and that's what an assurance that the division of the bill, the members will have it by Friday, if possible, so that when we come to the meeting on Tuesday, at least they have time to look at it. But secondly, we are going to request, because I know that the meeting of next week is going to be more intense than today, because we would have to look at the bill clause by clause. So we might have to then request that we have a meeting the whole day, rather than the meeting until lunchtime. So what we will do, doesn't matter where we will be in the morning part, we might have to move to a venue closer to the house in the afternoon, so that in the event that we need to get in and out of the house, if there's voting to be done, we are able to do that. But we will have to work around that, so that we are able to finish on time. And if we are not able to finish on Tuesday, we will then have to apply to meet on Wednesday until lunchtime, so that at least the bill itself, in terms of close by close, are done with it next week to allow for the process. So that's what it's important that the department knows that, and members, that we still have to go and ask for permission from Parliament. I don't foresee a problem in terms of us getting that permission. So we might have to meet on Tuesday and Wednesday. And so that we have finished with the close by close bill. But otherwise, I think we've done well in the circumstances. Looking at the fact that we only started in June when the bill came in front of us, I'm sure the office of the state law assembly will agree that we've done well compared to other policies in terms of time. I thought we're done with this process of the bill now. Unless there's anything specific that we will have the opportunity in detail next week to deal with your family. Are we here to do that? We here? Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Member. The only item, you can see the bit, there's only one item that I want to defend of, which is the mayor of last week. Where we were interacting with the Gauteng province last week on their performance. I just wanted the minutes to be adopted with an amendment already on the member present that Honorable Mahdi is committed again. Just on the people present, if you can just add that, and please note the fact that this is the second time this is happening. Any more part of the minute? Honorable Mahdi is moving. Step on this side. Honorable Mahdi. Thank you very much. Now we have finished the kids evening. The lunch is ready at 1. And I had thought that we will finish it, but the plan was to end it at 1. And so we will see if they can do that. That's all we can try. Thank you so much. The meeting is adjourned.